All right, now I'm on. Hey, good morning, everybody. Smile at somebody. Come on, smile at somebody. Say, you're looking good. Yeah, gosh. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many of here have ever had a meal that was like on a 10, so memorable? Like you go back and you think like, man, that was the best thing I ever ate. Anybody have one of those that just, you know, So years ago, there was a restaurant down in, I think, New Freedom. It's since closed, but they had the most amazing crab cakes. Anybody know what it is? Okay. Okay, no lying. We don't lie, but no lying. They were the best crab cakes I've ever had. They were as big as a softball. Yeah, I was going to say my softball. They had no, somebody put bread in there and fillers. They had no fillers. They were the best. Yeah, raise your hand if you had one of those down there. Okay, now, since that time, I eat some crab cakes, and this past summer, I think it was like in August, I was down in Baltimore, and I stopped at a place, kind of fancy place, because somebody else was paying the bill, and I ordered crab cakes. I ordered crab cakes. They had two little crab cakes on there, and they were good, but they weren't Lamont's. Okay. So today what I want to talk about is a memorable meal. And if you have an understanding of this meal, it will change your life. So today, door number one, we're going to do communion. All right? Communion. Praise God. You know, when I was preparing about this, I really was going to do this the end of October, 1st of December. And I've been studying stuff like that. And then the Lord said, no, I want you to teach on words. So, but when I thought about that, I was like, gee whiz, I bet I haven't taken a whole service just to teach on communion in 10 years. Now, we used to do communion fellowship. It was for a season, and we could do that again if the Lord says so, and I have a lot of volunteers, wink, wink, okay? But during that, when we receive communion, it's, you know, it's kind of slid in here, and I just teach on little aspects of it. But the Lord really pressed on my heart, you know, I want you to teach the whole time on communion. I said, I obey the first time, all right? So I'm going to teach on communion, and we're going to tie healing into communion, okay? There's a lot of things that happen in communion, but the focus is today, communion, the meal that heals. So if you need a title, there you go. Okay, so you're writing this stuff down. Amen. I had somebody come up after church and said, look, I have a notebook. I write all this down. I said, oh, you're my favorite. Okay, now, because it's called, I'm going to tie healing in with communion, if you are in need of healing in your body, how about you perk up your ears and your heart and maybe jot down a few things and just start grabbing these things, okay? It's okay? Because this is different than the crab cake. This meal is different than that crab cake. So let me give you a little cutie little information. It's real interesting within the church. The whole church, the church in the world, okay? There's ordinances. Anybody hear that word? Ordinances. Churches have ordinances in their church, okay? And some churches say, oh, we have 7 ordinances. And some churches say, well, we have sacraments, okay? And here at YCF, we have ordinances here. And an ordinance is God instituted it. He wrote it. And we do it. God instituted it. And we do it, okay? That's simply what ordinance has to do with. And I got thinking about ordinances, and, you know, you can kind of, and I hate to use this word, you can kind of say like a ritual, okay? Even though I don't like to use that word, but when you think about it, you do it, you do it, you do it, you can kind of get that. So here at YCF, one of our ordinances is we preach the word. Every week you get here, you will get preached at, okay? We will get teached at. Every week we do that. So in a sense, that's an ordinance that we do, all right? Another thing is we have worship, sometimes in the beginning, sometimes at the end, every week. And I'm so thankful, so thankful. so thankful, right? Okay, so those are kind of two main things that we do here as ordinances, okay? Now, Jesus only gave two ordinances. What? I got seven! Okay, no, Jesus only gave two, all righty? And so Jesus gave us the ordinances. He instituted these ordinances. He said these are the ordinances, okay? And ordinance number one is that he gave, an ordinance is water baptism. Raise your hand if you've been water baptized, okay? So Jesus gave that as a water baptism. I'm not teaching on it, okay? The only requirement is ye must be born again. Otherwise, you're just swimming, right? Get a bad hair day afterwards, okay? So that's the only requirement for water baptism. And we have these pamphlets. They'll be back on the Coffee and Connect. They are amazing. We've been using this for years. It's all about water baptism. And if you'd like to be water baptized, fill out a card, stick it in our mailbox over there, and we'll talk to you. So, but the only requirement is you must be participation needed here, okay? Now, Pastor D has a little, you know, the little fine print aster when it comes to water baptism. When it comes to water baptism with children, I will, Pastor Sherry, different, whatever, I will baptize children by the time, when they're 8 years old. Because they've got to sit down and explain what water baptism is all about.
Same age, so don't ask me.
Okay, yeah, say eight years old, okay? So that's just me. Everybody smile. I love you, Pastor D. I love your role, whatever, okay? So water baptism. Now, I'm not teaching a water baptism. I'm going to talk about the second ordinance. The second ordinance is communion, all right? So Jesus had two ordinances, and he's real specific about that, all right? Now, how many of you have had communion before? How many of you have heard about communion, okay? And depending on the background, I'm going to say this nice word, denomination that you've come from, okay? Some people, some churches say they do communion every Sunday. Every Sunday they receive communion. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's got to be a God thing, all right? And then I know some people that take communion every night before they go to bed, okay? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it better be a God thing, all right? So we have this here. So today, I want to teach, and I just want you to pretend you don't know nothing. Everybody say, I don't know nothing, all right? Just come in like an empty tank, and I just, because sometimes, you know, you can be, oh, Pastor D, I just know everything. What are you going to tell me? Oh, baby. Not a good attitude, all right? So just roll with me, okay? So I'm going to go over the who, the what, the where, the why, and the when. We're going to go over that kind of stuff, all right? So here's my first question, and I already sort of answered it. Who instituted communion? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus did, all right? Jesus is the one that says, "This, I'm doing this, you're going to do this," all right? Now, here's something interesting. You will not find communion in the Old Testament. Some of you got quiet. You will find meals, but you will not find communion. All right? Communion. Okay? You won't find that. So Jesus instituted communion. Jesus instituted communion in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, right? Okay? And he says, hey, this is what it's about. This is how you do it. This is what goes on. Jesus instituted, all right? So what is communion? If you've been in church for a long time, you're going to know the answer to this. If you've not been in church for any amount of time, you're like, oh, okay. But here's what I know, okay? You have not been to a bar, B-A-R, you know, where they said, hey, everybody close your eyes, bow your heads, we're going to receive communion. I hope you weren't at a bar, okay? But you will not be in a bar that says, okay, it's time for communion. You know why? Because communion's for the church, okay? Who is the church? Raise your hand. You're the church. Born again. Believers, follower. Communion is for us's, all right? So that's why you're not going to go to the bar to find communion time, all righty? So let me give you a couple of names that you'll hear in the New Testament that all are about communion, okay? So number one, communion's known as the Lord's Supper, right? Communion's known as the Lord's table. That's 1 Corinthians 10:21, the Lord's table, all right? Communion's found in the New Testament as the cup of blessings, 1 Corinthians 10:16. Communion is also known as the breaking of bread, and you'll see that in Acts 2:24. Communion's also described in your New Testament as the Eucharist, and the denomination that I came out, that's how they called it. This is the Eucharist, communion, okay? And communion is known and recorded as the giving of thanks, okay? So those are the different names. They all have to do with communion, all right? So let's jump into the Word of God. Everybody grab your Bibles, your Bible app. Don't get tempted to go swish, swish. Matthew 26. You ready? Matthew 26. Matthew 26, here we go. This is Jesus and his disciples. This is called, we would call it the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, okay? So they were eating. Jesus took some bread, blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples and said, take this and eat this, for this is my body. Now, he was not literally talking about his flesh, blood, body, because when he was talking, he was there, all right? So it is something that is for remembrance, okay? It represents, he said, this is a representation, okay? Now, the church that I was raised in, they taught, and I haven't followed recently, that when you receive communion, when you take that body, you're actually eating his body. And they have a big long name, transubstance, blah, 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 okay? When you take communion, when you take that bread and you eat that, you're actually eating it and it becomes his body. And so when I received communion the first time, I was in first grade and I had been taught that. And I remember going home going, are you serious? Okay, now I didn't say anything, okay? But I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? When I eat that and I swallow that, then when I see it goes into my body, and then later on it's going to out of my body? And my brain just couldn't, okay, I was in first grade, but I was like, and even then I was like, are you serious, all right? Like, okay, Pastor D, nice thoughts, okay. But today, when we receive communion, we are not eating his body, okay? It represents, this bread represents his body. I know I'm being basic, but, you know, sometimes we have some little things we go, what? All right, let's jump down to verse 27. And Jesus, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, his disciples, and said, each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people, and it is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. All right, so y'all agree we weren't drinking his blood, right? The juice or the wine, whatever denomination you came from, it represented his blood, okay? So we're all okay, all right. Okay, last part, verse let me jump back here, okay? So when we receive communion, it represents some things. It actually reminds us of some things, okay? It reminds us that we now are in a covenant with God. Now, covenant, I don't walk around and go, hey, you in covenant with me? It's not a term that we use, okay? But that's really what it says, and I'm going to jump into a little bit about that. So when we receive communion, I want you to know you are now in, we have been placed into a covenant with God, okay? We're in a new covenant. How many buddy like new cars instead of old cars? New is better, right? The old covenant was old. And listen, the old covenant had over 600 rules, and there were some nasty consequences if you broke those rules. So I like new. I'm going to stay on the new side, okay? New is better. We're in a new covenant. Now, are there some principles in the old covenant? Yeah, okay, and I'll take all those good things, but I like new, all right? And the new is better. Everybody say it's new is better, all right? So this new covenant that we're in has been established by Jesus, and it has to do with his sacrifice and his blood and all that good stuff, all right? So let's talk about covenants. I haven't taught about that in about 10 years either, just specifically on the whole time, all right? So we are, when we receive Jesus, we got placed into a new covenant. When we receive communion, it's all about a new covenant, all right? In this new covenant, there's an exchange. And I'm going to go over three main reasons that they had covenants, but there was an exchange. There's always an exchange, okay? Sometimes they exchange pieces of clothing. Sometimes they exchanged swords. Sometimes they exchanged animals, okay? There is an exchange. So three reasons, and this is one of my favorite books. This is my third one because I wear the cover off. This is by, and they're going to pop these up later, The Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon. Amazing. He goes into covenants, okay? All right. Three reasons. Number one, so if you were a strong, I'm going to use the word tribe, okay? And living next door to you was a weak tribe, weaker, okay? But you're the strong and there is a weaker next to you, okay? If there was danger coming, that the weaker tribe was probably going to get annihilated, attacked, just all sorts of bad things. The weaker tribe would go to the strong tribe and say, hey, let's make a covenant. And they would say also this word, cut covenants, okay? But let's make a covenant, okay? Let's make a covenant. So they would make this covenant, the strong tribe with the weaker tribe, so they don't get wiped out, all righty? So that's what goes on in the covenant here. And then what it says is, now, if you're really tuned in, you're going to hear Jesus here. Your strength becomes my strength. That was the exchange. Right? He's weak. I mean, I was weak, but he is strong. So that was the exchange that goes on. So also, if your name was a well-known strong name, then you could go up and say their name. So I was trying to think, what's a well-known strong name, famous name? And I was like, I even Googled, and I didn't even know half the words. So for me, in my generation, we said, well, I'm a Rockefeller. And then you can just let me through. All right? So there was an exchange of names. All right, there's that went on there. Another reason they would cut a covenant is if two businessmen wanted to go into a partnership. All right, they would cut a covenant. They would go into a covenant so that neither one would take advantage of the other one. Because if you broke the covenant, you're dead, baby. The covenant was everlasting. Think about the New Testament, what you have with Jesus. The covenant was everlasting, and it went from generation to generation to generation. So you would cut a covenant to go into this partnership because, all right. Here's the last one, and you're going to get this. Ready? If two people deeply loved each other, they would go into a covenant. What do we call that now? Marriage covenant, okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Now listen to this. Communion is all about covenant, this new covenant. So we now, as believers, people that have been born again, we have a covenant with Jesus, and we have his righteousness, because I sure wasn't righteous when I first met Jesus, right? Okay? So we take on his righteousness. We take on his status, by the way. You are seated in the heavenlies because of Jesus. So all these things go on. There's an exchange that goes on because we're in a new covenant. This covenant is amazing. And the other one, I was like, oh, yeah, and my sins are forgiven. He took my sins. There was an exchange. It's just so beautiful. All right. So I have to say this. As a Christian, as a person that has received Jesus, if I have done something wrong, if I have messed up, anybody messed up before you got even in through the parking lot today? Some days, especially dragging four kids, yes, drop your coffee, you know, just getting in here, I was like, wow. But listen, the exchange now is if I'm a believer, God sees me through the eyes of Jesus. God sees me now through the eyes of Jesus, holy, blameless, righteous, beautiful, child of God. That's the exchange in the covenant. Covenant's a pretty good thing, right? All right, so let's read verse 29 now. Matthew 26, verse 29. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So here's what we know. These are representing some things. This bread represents his body. This, I got this pretty cup as a present years ago. So I always like to use it, okay? And this cup with juice represents his blood, all right? So they just represent this. So now, according to scriptures, when Jesus was on the cross, ever read that? Jesus died on the cross, right? Okay. He took all of our sins and all of our sicknesses, Isaiah 53, we went over that last week, all our diseases, all our sorrows and pains. He took, that was an exchange, okay? He took that for us, okay? Now, religion would say, I don't know about that. Some things I don't agree. But according to the Bible, he took all our sins, sicknesses, and stuff, and there was an exchange. So this just, I'm like, what? It's always interesting when I run into somebody, and occasionally I do, that says, well, you know, I have this sickness on my body, and it's from the Lord. I was like, what? Religion. Okay? Can I tell you, to encourage you, God doesn't put sickness on anybody. Number one, is there any sickness in heaven? So where is he going to get, dish it out from, all right? Okay, so he does not do that. Matter of fact, Jesus came to give you an abundant life, right? Life and life in abundance. He is not a God. He can't do this. It's not his nature. He will not, never not, and cannot, all right? You know, some of you are looking like, Pastor D, this is so basic. Yeah, what are you doing with it? Okay, see, I smile at you when I say that, all right? Yeah, all righty, so... next question, when and where do you do communion? We don't do it at the bar. We all found that out. But when and where do you do it, okay? Have you ever heard this? Don't try this at home. All right? Don't try this at home. Such as, I remember I'm watching extreme sports. They're just cool. I think I should be able to do that. And it, maybe there's BMX guys on there, and they're going, whoops, whoops. And at the end, the announcer says, don't try this at home, right? Okay, I think the church has done that with communion. Don't try this at home. You need a professional, all right? I came out of a denomination like that, and there's quite a few that are like that, okay? Now, the truth is, you can receive communion anytime, anywhere, in a box, with a fox, in a this, green eggs and ham. Right? Anywhere, anytime. But have an understanding of what it's all about when you do that, right? So, can I take communion? Now, we're going to take communion together as a community, a church family, okay? And that's one way of doing that. And I guess I'm a professional, whatever, all right? So that's one way. But how about, can you do this at home? Let's just say Friday you were at the doctor's office and he gave you a bad report. Bad. Like, bad, okay? And can you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to take communion tonight. Can I do that? Yeah. Anywhere, in a fox, in a box, anywhere. Right, anytime, if you have an understanding, all right? So, do you need a professional? No. No, is that no? No, it's the wrong way. Okay, no, it's that way. Okay. All righty. So, when we receive communion on our own, okay, and I know there's people that watch online because of some issues in their body, they're not able to join us, they're going to join us really, together with us, but on their own. Can they do that? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, okay? So, you can do it anytime, anywhere, any place, but please have an understanding, because this is the meal that heals, and it's powerful. Now, did you also know that there have been small wars, everybody say wars, fought on what kind of bread? Oh, baby, let me tell you. White bread, unleavened bread, monkey bread, crackers, okay? Wars on what kind of bread. But wait a minute. I thought this bread just represents what? So you can use monkey bread, crackers, unleavened bread, and then this is Italian bread. Yeah, okay, all right. Did you know there have been wars, everybody say wars, fought on wine or juice, white or red? Now, can I be honest? We always honest. When we got this carpet, it's been a year, I was like, forget the red. We're only doing white. And I thought, oh, no, Pastor D, you are smarter. We'll have a war going on. Like, don't you know his blood was red, so it has to be red? I'm like, cut me a break, all right? So we have red. Don't spill it. Okay? So why does communion matter? What is communion's purpose? Is it just a ritual? Okay? Or is it something memorable, like my crab cakes? I mean, more memorable, okay? So why? So let's think about this. You are actually, with communion, remembering. You are actually remembering, all right? You're remembering. What are we remembering? His death, his burial, his resurrection, and seated. We are remembering what he did. His blood was shed so that I could have forgiveness of sins, right? And his body was broken so that I can be healed. So that's what we're remembering. All right, what I want to do now is just camp out at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So open up your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Anita, where's my water? There it is. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me give you some background while you're flipping over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul wrote this. Duh, to the Corinthian church, Pastor D, I know that. Okay, but did you know that Paul did not know Jesus when he walked on the earth? Did you know that Paul had not received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior when Jesus was walking on the earth? Paul came in later. And yet, who is writing about communion? And I'm going to show you how he could do that, all right, in a moment, all right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Paul is writing this, and he's actually explaining the who, the what, the why, the where, the when on communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. So, who gave him this? I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord. See, he received his instructions from the Lord, and he's passing it on to us, all right? Keep reading. Let's see, verse 27. On the night when he was betrayed, I skipped. Okay, you know, it's really bad when you type the wrong numbers in here, and you're like, that's not right. Wonder what number that was. I don't know. Okay, I think I better read some more. Okay, I figured it out. Okay, so I pass on to, you got to laugh at yourself. You better, all right, or you're going to cry. All right, here we go. So I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. Keep moving. And on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which we know really, okay, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same way, he took a cup of wine after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. Yes, the new covenant, okay, between God and his people, okay, in agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. He didn't come last night. You're still here. So guess what we should be taking? Just keep doing it until he comes back. All right? Amen. Pastor D. I know. All righty. So this next part is where people kind of go, they get a little like, little... What? So listen to this, verse 27. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord, look at this word, unworthily, is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Okay. All right. Some people are like, what? Okay. If you have a heart for the Lord, if you have a heart for, when you mess up, for forgiveness, this is not talking to you. Okay? How many of you have a heart for the Lord Jesus? How many of you mess up? before you even got in here, okay? If you have a heart and for going to the Lord for forgiveness, this was not written to you. Now, let me tell you the bunch it was written to. You're going to go, I am doing good. The bunch that this was written to, okay, they were actually mocking the Lord's Supper. They were mocking. They would come to, and they would have things called love feasts, and then they'd have communion, and they would come in, and they would just push y'all aside and get at the front of the line, pile up their plates, okay, and then they drank wine back then, and they're getting drunk, and then they would sit down and have communion. My mother would have spanked your behind. Let me tell you, golly, what? Okay, so those guys are partaking of communion. Everybody say unworthily, right? They're sinning against the body of the Lord. That's who he's talking to, all right? Now, if you're here and you're like, I love the Lord Jesus, I love God, you know, I still struggle in areas, that's not who he's talking to, okay? All right, so, and when I do mess up, and I love the Lord, and I mess up, mostly with my mouth, okay? I just go to him, Father, I messed up. Please forgive me, okay? So this particular verse is not talking to us, all righty? Verse 28, let's jump down. This is why you should examine, everybody say examine, yourself. Your wife doesn't have to do it, okay? And this is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup, all right? Examine, all right. All right. Examine. What do you mean examine? It just means look inside. Just look inside your life, your heart, okay? Just look inside and just make sure things are right, okay? Make sure they're right. And can I give you some encouragement? Especially, I grew up in a denomination, and then I went from that to another one. It was like, you have to find something to examine yourself. You know, you have to find something. And I'm just sweating bullets. Listen, if you don't got something, you don't got something. Thumbs up, all right? It's just chill. Just be like that, all right? And here's what I found out. God will speak to me immediately. Sometimes, like, don't open your mouth. And then sometimes afterwards, I told you so. No, you know, he speaks to me. He will speak to you immediately about the things that we're messing up on, all right? So you don't have to be, oh, you know, so if you search your heart and you don't find anything, everybody go like this, thumbs up, you're good, right? All right, verse 29, for if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the Lord's body, you are eating and drinking God's judgment on yourself. Woo! Okay, this is talking about receiving communion. You and I are going to receive communion, all right? And we have to honor this. His body that was broken and his blood that was shed first, okay? Years ago, when we were living in Tulsa, I had like my very first pastor. Oh my gosh. And he said this and it stuck with me forever. He said, this is first, okay? But how about honoring the body? Yeah, that's us. Okay, that body, we're called the body of Christ. The day you got born again, you became a believer, you became a part of the church, you became a part of the body. And he's saying, first, honor this, have an understanding, receive this, and we'll do some more about that. But second, you know, have you honored the body? Like, have you been nasty, nasty, unloving, unkind to believers, brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you had unforgiveness and resentment to your brothers and sisters in Christ? He says, that's not, you need to straighten that up so that you honor the body. So there's two things that we honor, okay? Ah, such a happy, smiley message. Praise the Lord. So before we receive communion, we're going to check and say that we're honoring the elements or the body and the blood. And secondly, we're going to have we been dishonoring, all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Smile, everybody. All right, let's move on. All right. Verse 30, let's jump down there. This is why, all right, so he's going to give you reasons why this. This is why many of you are weak and sick and some have even died. They didn't honor, partake of this, understand this, apply this in their life, okay? And then there's the body thing going on here, all right? So verse 31, keep reading, Pastor D. This is so much fun. But if you would examine yourself, you would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not condemn along with the world. Okay. So first thing, examine, all right? Okay, I have seen people, I've run into them, and they're like, I have hated this person for 10 years. You hate somebody? I think you need to examine something, like your heart. What is going on, right? So you got the first word, hate. Down on your knees, Bubba, right? So, you know what? Sherry is so sweet. We love one another. And she and she said something to me, and now I keep going, you know, little tics that we have when we stand up and preach. She said, one of them is so. I start my sentence with so, and what's the other one? All righty. I was like, I said that 10 times. So. So I just laugh. Here we go. I'm going to try another word to start. Let me tell you a story. I know. You get up here. Okay. I'm going to follow you around and see where you start your sentences. My little grandson, he's now 6, he starts every sentence with actually. You know what that tells me? He's got an excuse in his back pocket. Okay. So years ago when I... Some come up. What's the source of this? Yeah, I need one of those words from there. Thank you. Back when I was a new believer going to church, we would go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday if they had something Saturday. We went to church all the time. Typically, Sunday night was not as full as Sunday morning. So I was going... And I was going to Sunday night service. I think I've got rosy cheeks here. Going to Sunday night service, and there were not a lot of people that showed up. And more than often, they would turn it into a testimony service. Nowadays, I got smart. That's scary when you give somebody a mic and give a testimony. Here is why I learned that. So this lady got up, and she says, oh, I have a testimony to share. So they give her the mic. So Pastor and I... Sherry and I, we hold the mic. So we loan you the mic.
For everybody.
For everybody, okay? Just wanted you to know if somebody's got an attitude. Let me tell you why. So this should have been the one that we should have held on to the mic. The pastor, now I was just a new believer. It's probably like 22 or something like that. And the pastor hands this lady the mic and she goes, During worship, the Lord spoke to me to forgive so-and-so. And I heard his voice, and I forgave her. Here's the thing. The lady that she forgave been dead 10 years. And I want to go, just give it up, woman. Okay, listen. They're dead. You ought to forgive, right? You ought to forgive. And besides, if it was a Christian, I could just see God going, you know those mansions I prepared for you? Guess who's going to be next to you? All right, so forgive. All right. Back to Paul's warning. I just want to make sure you understand who he was writing this unworthily and sinning against the Lord to. All righty? And you know, God is, it's not whether we're perfect. No perfect people allowed, okay? We just throw you out. It's not whether it's perfect. It's if your heart is towards the Lord and you just quickly repent. All right. I have had people say, well, Pastor D, you know, God can't forgive me. I was like, ooh, you do not understand the scriptures. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful, all right? Faithful and just to forgive you of our sins. So you just don't understand that part right now. So we're talking about a meal that's memorable. Some of you are still thinking about crab cakes. Anybody know like an amazing place? Come see me. Okay. But this meal is more memorable. It's called the meal that heals. And this is where we're going to camp out a little bit here. So, do you need healing in your body? Do you got something going on? Okay? Okay? And, you know, oftentimes we think of the big crazy stuff. Like, I need a miracle! All right? But did you know that Jesus came to heal everything? You've got some mental things going on. I hate to say the word mental, but emotionally mental. There's another way of saying that. I know. Okay? He came to heal that. It's all there, okay? If you have a broken heart because a loved one died or a disappointment died, he came to heal the broken heart. He came to heal all. Everybody say all right? So praise God. So this is the meal that heals. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible by remembering that the bread was for his body that was broken and bruised, Isaiah 53, we did that last week, for healing. And is it possible that remembering his blood that was shed so that it would take care of our sin problem, is it possible that through that, this is the meal that heals? Everybody go, yes, Pastor D, I do, I believe, okay. Now, I want to read you a testimony. Where did I start this? This doctor had a patient. The doctor is a believer. He had a patient who had a liver disease, and I can't even pronounce it. And it had destroyed 40% of this woman's liver, this liver disease, okay? And she was dying. Expiration date approaching, okay? And according to this doctor, she began to take communion 3 times a day. You're dying, all right? 3 times a day. Within a couple of months, the disease disappeared. There is a whole bunch of these in here, all right? But I have to say this. Communion is not the golden ticket in Willy Wonka. Communion is not this golden ticket, all right? Okay, there is a power to remembering and a power of declaring and a power of believing, but it is not that, and so you have to know that. Now, how many of you have photos around your house of, graduation, wedding, first baby? There was this one at my dad's house. It was my dad who knew nothing about this. He was one of the coaches for T-ball. And here's my brothers and the T-ball, and they're all like this. Like, it's so cute. Oh, it's so cute. So why do we have photos around our house? To remember. What do we remember? Those times, hopefully, right? Good times, right? Now, it is vital that we remember what these represent. It is vital, okay? Because life gets hard. So that T-ball picture, my cute little brother Patrick, he was cute, but let me tell you, life got hard, and he had made some poor choices in his life. But I tell you what, I go back to that picture. He passed away because of those choices. But you know, as a parent, I would go, as a believing parent, I would go and go, I am remembering this is who he is. Okay, remembrance is vital, right? Communion is remembering. Everybody say that. Communion is remembering, right? His shed blood was forgiveness. His shed blood was, I could not access the Father except for through the blood, his blood, right? And now, because of this blood, I remember that I can go boldly into his presence anywhere, anytime. And he's like, come on, I'm up here, Dee. Right? The bread is remembering that he went on the cross. He was beaten before and this horrific thing on the cross. And through those brokenness and beating, that I have all sin, sickness, and disease. He carried the exchange so that I'd be healed. So communion has to be about remembering. Everybody say remembering. And, you know, otherwise it's just a ritual. And I grew up in a denomination. Maybe I was just young and dumb and stuff like that, but it was just a ritual, okay? So it has to be remembering, all right? So the first thing, when we receive communion, we are going to remember what these elements are about, right? We're going to remember that this juice, which is juice, no wine, sorry, this juice, and it's red, don't spill it, this juice represents his blood that was shed for us so that took care of our sin problem. Ever say sin problem? Taken care of, all right? The next part is we remember that his body was broken so that I have healing. Praise God. So now we're going to receive communion in just a few minutes, all right? Just a few minutes. We're going to do something a little bit different. Before we actually take the elements and drink this and eat this, we're going to speak some things, all right? We're going to speak some things because, we need to remember. 2, we need to declare and believe, but we're going to speak some things. But before... If there's anyone here, first and foremost, if there's anyone here, you have never received Jesus, that's first. You need to receive Jesus because communion, it brings you into this new covenant. So close your eyes, bow your heads, all right? And then there's the second one I'm going to give in a moment. If you've one, you've never received Jesus, or two, you have just pushed Jesus away. You've pushed him out of your life. You received him once, but he is out in the parking lot. He is not a part of your life anymore. And this would be the time you go, Lord, I have been living my life without you for so long, and I want to rededicate. I want to rededicate my life to you. So is there anybody here that you would like to receive Jesus today? Today at 11:51, and your life will be forever changed, okay, where you can receive the forgiveness of sins. Would you just raise your hand, and we're going to pray. And if there's anybody here that, you know, you had received Jesus, you know, maybe, it's, and but you've just pushed him out of your life, and you'd say, Pastor D, I just want to get right and just walk again with him. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Okay, is there anybody? All right, praise God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, what the most important is we keep this relationship up and down. Always right. This is what we do here, all right? So if you've never received Jesus or you'd like to rededicate your life, how about we all say this, okay? Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to take my sins away and wash me clean. And I accept Jesus now as my Lord and Savior. I am forgiven, righteous. I'm a child of God forever. Amen. All right, so those are probably the first two things. The second part, you know, we mess up. So I've received Jesus. I have not walked away from Jesus, but I have a daily walk, and I just mess up, you know. This is the time where you're just going to examine your heart, and you go, you know, should not have done that. Father, I just ask you to forgive me, and I thank you that I stand forgiven. So just get quiet right now. This is you and him, all right? You know, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for forgive me for this thing. I knew it. I just thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. Okay, ushers are going to come up and hand out the elements. All right? Take one, pass it down. All right? While they're doing that, can you do two things at once? Ask me about all my great car accidents. Was doing two things at once, all right? But what I'd like you to do before, we're going to make a profession, a confession, a declaration, all right? We're going to make a declaration. We're going to apply faith to what Jesus has done through the bread and through the wine, all right? So, they're going to pop this on the screen. We're going to do that first one about the bread. Okay. So just don't eat it. Just hold it. Okay? All right. Everybody say this. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you and remember all that you've done for me on the cross. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken so that mine be made whole. And I take this bread and I receive resurrection strength. Oh, excuse me, life, health, and strength. Sorry, I just like that one. Amen. Okay. By your grace, I shall be completely strong and healthy all the days of my life. My eyes shall not grow dim, nor shall my strength abate. Abated, okay. No sickness can remain on my body, because the same power that raised you from the grave flows through me. By your stripes, I am healed. Amen. So let's break this together. Can I have a smidgen of somebody's? Thank you. Sorry. I was going to do the bread, but, you know, I don't think I could break that one here. All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you that it was finished. And today we receive health, wholeness, strength in our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Praise God. These are a little salty. These are nice. Amen. Praise God. Okay, we're going to take our cup. Don't drink it. We're going to make some declarations, okay? Oh, they're doing the cup. Okay. Praise the Lord. Can we do two things at once? Can we make our confession, declaration? Okay. All right, here we go. Lord Jesus, thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for washing me clean of all my sins. I stand before you completely righteous and forgiven. Your blood has redeemed me from every curse. And today, I can freely receive all the blessings that crown the head of the righteous. Woo! Praise God. Praise God, praise God. So, I don't think I have to say anything. Let's just receive this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you that I am forgiven. You see me and love me like you see Jesus. There's nothing that can separate me from your love. I thank you because of this blood. I thank you, and thank you that there is power in the blood. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm your child forever. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I thank you that this day, that there'll be visitations in our bodies. You just do what you've done. I thank you. I thank you. We thank you for the meal that heals. So here's my challenge. Maybe another better word, okay? So I shared about people that take communion, that lady that took communion 3 times a day. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? But it has to be a God thing. Okay? I have a dear friend in the situation that's going on in her life. She and her husband take communion every night before they go to bed. Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or a God thing? It's a God thing if the Lord speaks to your heart. Okay? If the Lord speaks to your heart. Just don't make it a ritual, all right? And if he speaks to your heart, you go long. Go long with that. And I, you know, this was basic refresher and stuff like that, but what are we doing with it? So challenge. It is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. And especially if there's situations going on in your life, okay? Get, you know, like the photo, it's to remind you. So take communion anytime, anywhere you have an understanding, let it be powerful. Like, I believe when I take this, settled, all right? It was settled, so it's received, all right? I don't know what to tell y'all, but I love you so much, Pastor Sherry, and I love you so much, and it has been a joy to lead communion, and I'd like to hear your good reports. Let us know what remembering has from this day forth, okay? Let us know. Not 5 minutes before I walk on the podium, though, okay? You know, it's always so cute. So why don't you stand? Father, I thank you that we are blessed. Coming in, going out. We're above and not beneath. I thank you, Father, the blessings of Abraham through the covenant is overflowing in our lives and in our bodies, in our families, in our relationships. I thank you, Father, that these are your people and they are mighty upon the earth. They are light in a dark place. And Father, I thank you that their light shines bright and they go long and strong. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I love you. Have coffee. Amen. Stay around. Meet some people. So...